John to come and share with us this morning. And as he comes, let's want to pray for him. Let's pray. Dear great Creator Spirit, we thank you that you are the God who loves all the nations. And Lord, you are the great reconciler. And Lord Jesus, you came to make peace in your own body, to reconcile all people to yourself. Lord, we pray for your Spirit to be powerfully at work this morning through John as he shares with us, Lord. And Lord, would you open our hearts and minds as well, Lord, that we might hear from you and be changed. Amen.
Hello, check. Check. No. Hello? Am I on here? Oh, there we go. I'm in now. Well, kind of an echo there. So far we have been, I was thinking as I was sitting there with my beautiful wife, so far we have been wonderfully invited into the presence of the kingdom through worship. Maybe I should take this off. Will that help? Oh. I knew I was going to get all caught up in there like a sockeye in a net. So yeah, we've been beautifully invited into the presence of the kingdom. Invitation is such a wonderful thing, such a critical thing, such an important thing. And it was shared that I'm a storyteller. Obadiah asked if I had a scripture, and I said, well, I don't have as many scriptures as I do just stories. So many stories. It seems like everything has a story. There's a story for that. Oh, there's a story for this. So, invitation. There's a story for that. I want to share a little bit of a story with you. So, let's pray first. Creator, we just thank you so much for your presence here with us, your Son, your Spirit. We ask that the words that are shared here today are from you, that you would use me as a vessel, that you would open up our hearts and help our minds to understand, that as we begin to get some education and understanding, it would be able to seep down into our hearts and change our hearts. And once our hearts are changed in a way with your love, that we would be able to do good deeds and speak good words into existence, that we would not just be a clanging cymbal and a resounding gong, as your word says. So help us to have love in our heart, Father. Amen. So, first of all, what time am I finished at? Does anybody know?
Half an hour.
Half an hour-ish? Good. So, in the story, it's me walking down a street. And I'm walking down the street, and as I walk down the street, it's in a neighborhood, and the neighborhood is kind of like, it's the neighborhood where it's house. It's kind of funny when I share this story, I don't know why, but I always see it as the street where I kind of grew up at my friend's house who lived just down the street from the ice arena. And that's the house, it's not that, okay, that's the house. So anyways, I'm walking down the street. And as I'm walking down the street, I look down the driveways and I just pick any driveway and I walk up the driveway. And as I walk up the driveway of the house, there's the little walkway to the stairs. I walk up the stairs, I'm on the front landing, there's the door, and I'm just like, oh, nice. So I check the door and the door is open right on. So I walk in, and as I walk in, there's the little spot there to take your shoes off, but I don't take my shoes off, I just walk right in. And then there's these stairs that go up, and I walk up the stairs, and as I go up the stairs to the left, there's a, it's like a living room. And then you walk through the hallway, kind of, and right on the other side of the hallway, there's the kitchen there. The hallway goes down, the bathrooms, the bedrooms, but there's the kitchen, and the kitchen has the, off to the side of that is the dining room. So I come in, and I sit down at the kitchen table. And because when the door opened and I come up the stairs, maybe the stairs had some creak and the door had a clunk when I closed it, the wife of the household hears that. because it's the morning. And she gets up and she comes walking down the hallway and sees me sitting at the table. And as I'm sitting at the table, she comes in and she's just like, "Who are you?" And I'm like, "Oh, I'm John." And she goes, "Well, why are you in my house?" And I'm like, "Oh, a little bit hungry. Actually, I'm really hungry. And I'd like some breakfast." And she gets pretty agitated. And in that agitation, the husband wakes up and he comes walking down the hallway and he's just like, "Who are you?" And I go to say what my name is, and he goes, "Actually, I don't even care who you are. Get out of my house." And I'm like, "Well, I was just telling your wife there when she told me to leave that I'm like 6'3", almost 275 pounds, and you're not. So I'm bigger than you are. I'm not leaving." And so she's upset, he's upset, and telling me to leave, not nicely, telling me to leave. And I don't leave. I'm staying there. So out of everything that is going on within that household, there begins to be a spiritual surrounding and covering because of the thoughts, deeds, and actions that are being had in that household. There's frustration, there's anger, there's all these things. And that's what invites the spiritual realm in. So I'm walking down the street, and I look down a driveway, and I walk down that driveway. And as I walk down that driveway, I see the walkway. I'm up on the front landing there, and I look at the door. And when I get to the door this time, I knock. I knock on the door. Nobody answers because it's early in the morning. So I knock again. And finally I hear someone coming down the stairs because there's a bit of a creak. And as they come walking down the stairs, they open up the door and they're, "Who are you? What can I do for you?" And I go, "Well, I'm hoping that you could share a meal with me. My name is John. I haven't really eaten in the last 2-3 days. Really hungry. And I was hoping you could share a meal with me." And she looks at me, and I don't maybe look all that friendly, but not threatening enough that she doesn't say yes. She invites me in, and she invites me in. So I get into the front landing, and I take my shoes off, and I walk up the stairs. She allows me to sit at the table. I sit down at the table, and she says she'll start making some breakfast because I said I was really hungry. And as all this is happening, the husband hears this, and as he hears that, he gets up and comes walking down, and he's just like, "Who are you?" But before I can even answer, the wife says, "Oh, this is John. He knocked on the door and asked if we could maybe share some food with him because he hasn't eaten in the last couple days. He's pretty hungry." And then the husband's like, "Oh, all right." So she continues to cook the food. And then the going-ons that are happening in that house is different than the other house. There's no anger, no frustration, no fighting, no anger. The things that are going on in that house are like some mercy, some grace, some hospitality. So the spiritual surrounding that household is inviting in is completely different. Completely different. Invitation changed everything. Being welcomed into the household changed everything for the spiritual covering of that household. So if that changes the spiritual covering over that household, then I start to question and wonder and ask, I found it difficult for a long time to have people say, "I don't know, not my problem, not my story, not my denomination, not my generation, not my problem," and try and turn and walk away from relationship between the First Nation people and the church. Not my denomination, and we don't have the invitation, and we don't have the welcome, it creates a spiritual surrounding over us. And whether we want to believe it or not, it creates a spiritual surrounding around us because of our attitudes, our thoughts, our deeds, and our actions. So maybe not just like, but as similar, we were blessed and invited in to the kingdom here today to be in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. It carries a tremendous amount of power to be invited in. So in saying that, I just got to pause and say how beautiful it was to hear people speak their language. To say that God so loved the world that he invited his one and only Son to come and be with us, that we may know who the Father truly is. To hear that in all the different languages is so beautiful. And I would love to be able to say and share in my language, which is the language of this land that we are on right now. You can lose your spot in a book and you can lose your car keys, and we often do the car keys. You don't lose your language. That was stolen. So though I am not able to share that scripture with you, me and my wife have been trying to learn the language for about 5-6 years now, and there are some words that I do know. So with those words, I want to welcome you to this land. And what gives me the right to do that? I believe it's an authority given by God, who has placed us as First Nation people here first to steward the land, the air, the water, the fish, the animals, the birds, the creepy crawlies, to steward all things well. He put us here first. We have a tremendous awareness of how we are placed here to steward all things well. And being placed here by the Creator gives us an authority to be here. Just like any of the pastors that are placed here in this church, over this church, places them by the conference or whoever it is, gives the pastors an authority to be here and to share with you. So I believe that by being placed here first and given that authority to steward all things well gives me an authority to be here on this land. So in that authority, I say to you, Asiem, Asiem Itanasiea, Itsepu Olial, Anta John, Talitsan Ak Lakamal. And then to those of you, I want to say, to those of you that are willing to journey well with the First Nation people, with a good mind and a good heart and a good way, to you, I say, Mitsep kutwilam, tana tomuch, haha tomuch, ayamech tomuch. Helik tana squalowin, kwatsits kwatsnala, tana whale. Hello, my friends. My name is John. How are you all doing? I am from Lakamal, Lakamal First Nation. To those of you that are willing to journey well with the First Nation people with a good mind, a good heart, and a good way, I say to you, welcome. Welcome to this beautiful land, to this sacred land given by the Creator. I am full of joy to be here with you today. That welcome, whether you know or not, carries a lot of power to it because of the First Nation blood that flows through me and our people that were placed here first. So to you, I say welcome. Welcome is very important. It changes the surroundings of our spiritual covering. There was a welcome. There was a welcome at the beginning. 1492, 91, sailed the deep sea blue. Found lost, wandering on the shoreline, starving at the end of a supply chain, not doing well, sick. But invited in for a meal. Invited in for a meal. So there was invitation, and things were good. But shortly after that invitation, there was seen resources by Christopher Columbus and all his people. Seen resources that he wanted and that he wanted to bring back to his kings and queens and pope. And in those seen resources that were wanted, it changed the relationship because they were there to take and take and take. So the relationship was broken and destroyed. And that's a little bit of what we live in today, is a relationship that is broken and destroyed. The relationship between the host people of this land and the newcomers and the settlers is broken. Before I go any further, I just want to ask, is there anyone else in the room here that has Métis, First Nation, or Inuit blood? All right. To you, I don't say as much welcome as I just say hello. Beautiful people. Thank you. So the relationship has been broken and traumatized. The relationship, the story, the good news. I was sitting there with my wife, and when we heard some of the scripture and the songs that were being sung and some of the scripture and that, I was just like, that is good news. That's good news. And so in our story, the good news was to come over with the ships, and maybe some of it did. But as the indigenous people of Turtle Island, how we kind of heard it was through the Doctrine of Discovery to begin with. And the Doctrine of Discovery says that you are savage and subhuman, and you do not use the land in a good Christian way. Therefore, we as the newcomers can just take it because we are Christian. So that doesn't sound like good news for the indigenous people. For the Doctrine of Discovery to be able to play out, there had to be colonization. They had to set up colonies. They had to set up governments. They had to set up all their... So in that colonization, it was like, you have to be like us. Who you are is not acceptable. Your skin's too dark. Your language is gibberish. So that brought in assimilation. Also not good news. Your language is no good. Your skin's too dark. You're not like us. So then after assimilation, for a long time and a lot of troubles, then we kind of get into a residential school. Residential school says, if we can just take the Indian out of the child, we may be left with a good being to be absorbed into the body politic. I'm not exactly sure of what that totally means, but to me it doesn't sound good. That is not good news. That is not good news. After residential school for many years, and we've just found out some horrendous things that our elders have been sharing with us for a long time. After residential school came the 60 Scoop. And the 60 Scoop was kind of a deal where the government would sort of say, you don't know how to raise your children, so we're going to take your children and we're going to hand them out to white folk in white communities, and usually far away from where your reserve is or your community, so that you don't really have a way of getting back. I'm part of the 60 Scoop. 60 Scoop went through the 60s, 70s, and 80s. I was taken, stolen from the hospital. My older half-sister tells me that the nuns came three times and asked my mom to sign the papers, and she wouldn't. Would not sign the papers, so they took me anyways. Adopted fostered me out to a white family. And then after 2 years, I was adopted into a white family in a white community in North Langley. Actually started in Rainy Haney. And then after a couple of years, we moved to North Langley. So I was part of the 60 Scoop. My mother was a beautiful, wonderful lady. Totally knew she loved us, but didn't have the ability to help me with my culture, didn't have the ability to help me with my language, didn't have the ability to help me with my understanding as who I am as a Homoch person and how I am connected to all things because of being a Homoch person. Here, anyways. Couldn't help me with that. So I lost my language, my culture, my understanding of who I am. And then after the 60 Scoop, we have what we have today, where there's a representation of probably up to 60 to 65, 70% of the children in the foster care system have First Nation blood in them. So we might not be taking the children and putting them in school, but we're still taking the children and putting them in the foster care system. So as an Indigenous person for the last 450 years, that is our understanding of the good news. That's how it's been shared. It's hard and difficult to say that that's good news. When the good news is shared in that way, with the church being involved in all of those pieces, it's difficult to, or more maybe easy to see why it's hard for First Nation people to walk through those doors. The relationship has been broken and traumatized and fractured. What is the good news then? Well, there's another story. It's not my story, but there's another story that's absolutely beautiful, wonderful, incredible. Carries so much power. And it's a story of a creator who created all things. Created all things. And in that creation, he created a garden. And in that garden, he created man and woman. And he said to them, "All this in this beautiful garden is for you. You can have and eat of all of it. Oh, except for that tree. Do not touch or eat of that tree." And then the serpent comes along and he says to the woman, "Did God really say you can't eat of anything?" She says, "Well, of course not. He's a good God." "Well, then here, eat of this fruit." And the serpent handed her, or I don't know, does the serpent have hands? The serpent gave her the fruit, and she took it, and she bit into it. Why? I don't know. I think part of it's because man, who was standing right with her, beside her, behind her, did not speak out. She then turned and gave man the fruit, and he bit it too. So out of disobedience, sin enters the world. When sin enters the world, death enters the world because of sin leads to death. So then the creator needs to bring the world back into rightnessness. The creator needs to bring the world back into rightnessness. And to do that, there has to be a sacrifice. And the sacrifice has to be a blood sacrifice. The sacrifice has to be a big sacrifice. I was watching, our kids are older now, but this year, and it might be the last year, I don't know, this year I still turned on, what is it, the NORAD tracker for Santa? And the next morning, it was still up on the computer, and it was 7.6 billion, blah, 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 presents had been delivered. So that's about how many people we have in the world now, I guess, because that's what Santa says. But the sacrifice has to be big enough to cover all those people's sins. So it's a big sacrifice. To me, I'm a fairly simple man with simple ideas and simple thoughts. So for me, for a sacrifice to be big, you have to really love what is being sacrificed. For me, if I had, I guess my car. So if I said, I'm going to sacrifice my car, I'm not going to drive it anymore, I'm just going to give it away and not drive it anymore, that's a pretty big sacrifice. That's probably almost as big as if one of my children were going to say they were going to sacrifice their phone. That's a pretty big sacrifice. If one of my children said that, that would be a big sacrifice. But neither one of those sacrifices are big enough to atone for the 7.6 or 8 billion people's sins that are in the world. Because the love that I have for my car isn't big enough. The love that my children have for their phone isn't big enough. The love has to be tremendous to allow the sacrifice to hold the weight that it needs to carry. And the Father loves the Son tremendously. The Father loves the Son so much that it allows the sacrifice to be big enough to atone for all those sins. So out of obedience, the Son goes to the cross. And when the Son goes to the cross, being fully man, fully God, the fully man part says fully dead. The Son is fully dead. And that could be the end of the story, but thankfully it's not. Because after 3 days, the love and the power of the Holy Spirit through the Father raised the Son up. And death is defeated and sin is conquered. And we now have this ability to spend eternity with the Father because of what the Son did on the cross. We have the ability to spend eternity with the Father, otherwise known as our salvation. Our salvation was birthed into existence because of what the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit had done. Maybe I'll get in trouble theologically one day for saying this, but I think it holds water. Each one of them individually cannot offer us our salvation. The Father all by himself without the sacrifice, the Father all by himself cannot offer us our salvation. The Son all by himself cannot offer us our salvation. The Holy Spirit all by him or herself cannot offer us our salvation. But the three of them in tremendous relationship, covered with love, great and mighty and powerful love, the three of them can offer us our relationship. In relationship. In relationship. I just want to say that again. In relationship. So then, how do we get to a place in a space and time where we have newcomers come to this land, settlers come to this land, push the host people to the side and say, I will build my church and nothing and nobody will stop me. And they do, and they're big, they're beautiful, they're small, they're great, they're grand, they're wonderful. They build them. And then they fill them. And when they fill them, they worship. Kind of like we did today. And it's beautiful. They worship. And sometimes in their worship, they put their arms in the air. Maybe not all Mennonite Brethren churches, but some. People get a little crazy and put their arms in the air or overtaken by the Spirit. Put their arms in the air and they say, Oh Lord, we love you and we worship you because you and you alone are worthy to be praised. We just ask that you would pour out blessing upon us that we can be a blessing to those that are around us and even globally. Whilst We stand on the heads of the host people of this land. And I'm pretty confident at that point, in that moment, that the Creator of all creation is up in heaven, eating his Philly cream cheese bagel, because that's what the commercial says. Eating his Philly cream cheese bagel, saying, that is not the kind of relationship that births salvation into existence. We need to work on our relationship. We need to work on our relationship. Our relationship between the host people of this land and the newcomers. That was a tremendous amount when I asked who has Inuit, Métis, First Nation blood. That was a pretty tremendous amount that you have here, that although it is two churches together, that's pretty good, because most churches I would go to and I asked that, I had one church that surprised me. Another time, there was three people that stuck their hand up. I was like, oh, that's my children. Because they came with us. So a little bit, sometimes I have to ask, oh, church, where is your First Nation fruit? Because the Bible says you will know them by the fruit on the trees. And it's been 450 years, 500 years. And I have to ask, oh, church, where's your First Nation fruit? We've been at this mission game for 500 years. And there's just not a lot of fruit. I don't know, does that seem acceptable? To me, it doesn't. It seems like the relationship is broken. And it seems to me like in the story that it's not my story, but in the story that I shared from the Creator, he says relationship is greatly important. It's only through relationship that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are able to offer us salvation. And the Bible says that we, what a beautiful word, we are created in his image. We. Every tribe, nation, and tongue, we are created in his image. That's awesome. All of us. All of us. Not a people group, but all of us. But then he even goes a little bit further to say that we are created in his image and his, anybody know? Help me out. Created in his image and his likeness. And again, I'm a simple person with simple ideas and simple thoughts. So in my simpleness, to me, in his likeness means that we are to be like him. We are to be like him. And he is they are them. And them birthed salvation into existence through relationship. So in my simpleness, to me, it makes sense that we need relationship. We need relationship covered with love. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. We need relationship covered with love. And that's what will begin to birth salvation into existence. And I share this story, and sometimes when I share this story, I argue with myself a little bit, as if I'm up here sharing the story, and then I'm in the congregation, and I'm watching myself share the story, and I put my arm up, and I say, hey, John, I just want you to know that I have salvation, and I feel that I am blessed by the Creator. And I lost my train of thought there. Bus left the station, but doesn't know where it's going. Yeah, so There's a story for that. Do you know what I'm saying? Come on, dear, help me out. I think I might be into overtime now, so that's... So it's the relationship covered with love that is so critical. The word truth and reconciliation is a great thing, and we so need it. The word reconciliation gets thrown around an awful lot, a tremendous amount. And the word reconciliation by itself, I don't normally appreciate an awful lot. Reconciliation means to return to right relationship. When I asked Google, return to right relationship, most of the host people of the land will tell you that there never was a right relationship to return back to. So I kind of like conciliation. Let's move in that direction a little bit. Let's come together now. Come together in a good way with a good mind and a good heart and begin to try and move forward. But to move forward, we have to know our history and our past. Conciliation. But my favorite is rightnessness. Rightnessness of relationship. We need rightnessness of relationship if we are going to have our salvation birthed into existence in great and mighty ways. I'll get out on a little bit of a tangent and say that I believe that Canada is to be a healing nation to the nations. But it's hard for us to be a healing nation to the nations while we're standing on the heads of the host people. So when that relationship is brought into rightnessness, then it's just going to flow. We have a leaf on our flag, and I believe that's kind of a prophetic calling to us, because the Bible says that the tree by the river, the leaves, will be the healings to the nations. And we carry that leaf on our flag. So we are to be a healing nation to the nations. And the other nations, they know our story. Canada's really the only ones that go, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't understand it. But the other nations know. So when the other nations see us in right relationship, and out of that right relationship will birth salvation, because relationship births salvation. The other nations will say, Canada, can you help us? Because we need what you have there. And it's only going to happen when we can sit underneath the Creator and journey together well. Sit down at the table, share a meal, and get up and walk away as equals. Rightnessness of relationship. You should all say that with me just once. It's a fun word. Rightnessness of relationship. Important. Invitation, critical. Welcome, key. Rightnessness of relationship. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever shall believeth in him will not perish. Amen?
Amen.
Relationship is critical. I think I went over my half an hour.